The expert assessments of these electricity options mainly agree on several broad conclusions. First, much greater energy efficiency is possible, with more consumer awareness and more government R&D support. Second, energy efficiency will not be sufficient by itself to reduce carbon emissions. The world economy might grow sixfold by 2050. Even if energy efficiency allows us to keep the rise of electricity to half of that, we would still face a tripling of global electricity use by 2050. Third, renewable and other non-fossil fuel energy sources, such as nuclear, can play an important but also limited role in reducing carbon emissions from power generation from now to 2050. Fourth, many kinds of fossil fuels, especially coal, will remain inexpensive, plentiful, and in widespread use. Fifth, the option of carbon capture and sequestration will be very important, assuming that the CCS technologies prove to be as cost-effective as engineers now predict. If CCS proves feasible, this technology will allow the world to continue to use low-cost fossil fuels such as coal in a manner that does not wreck the climate. If we look to the best engineering predictions, the cost of reducing carbon emissions from electricity production relative to the current business-as-usual trajectory is likely to be around $20 to $50 per ton of CO2, which translates into a modest and manageable 2 to 5 cents per kilowatt hour. In places especially favored by wind or solar power, or where the geology is favorable for carbon sequestration, the costs will be lower. In some other places, the costs could be higher. The overall cost levels will depend on public investments we make in R&D needed to take these basic technologies from paper to practice. The greater are the early investments in R&D, the lower will be the eventual costs per ton of avoided carbon dioxide. All in all, the costs are likely to be moderate if we think and plan ahead. With regard to automobile emissions, we have all recently become aware of the potentially enormous increase in miles per gallon from the new hybrid technology that combines the use of gasoline with battery power. That technology is already roughly doubling the miles per gallon of some car models, depending on driving patterns. Another doubling of miles per gallon on top of that is becoming feasible if the hybrid can be plugged into the power grid as well. The idea is that a car would depend mainly on battery power for the first 40 or so miles each day, and carry a reserve of gasoline for when the battery runs low or when peak power is needed. The car would be recharged in the evening by plugging it into a wall socket at a time of day when the electricity grid is off-peak, and therefore available to recharge tens of millions of cars. In this way, an automobile could soon reliably get 100 miles per gallon of gasoline rather than 25 miles per gallon or so today. The kind of plug-in hybrid technology is nearly at hand and depends mainly on some further improvements in battery technology. Of course, the net benefit of such a move will depend enormously on the mix of technology used to produce the electricity that recharges the hybrid each night. If we were to merely shift the automobile from gasoline to electricity produced by standard coal-fired power plants, the benefits wouldn't be large. The trick will be to shift from gasoline to electricity produced by renewable sources or by power plants that capture and sequester their carbon emissions. The plug-in hybrid option will likely be available shortly, and if combined with clean electricity, will avoid emissions at very low cost. Taking into account all of the changes from conventional engines to plug-in hybrids, for example, the extra costs of batteries, the costs of clean electricity production and transmission, and so on, is not a straightforward calculation. But it is likely that plug-in hybrids would avoid carbon dioxide emissions at a cost well below $25 per ton of avoided emissions. In fact, the fuel economies could well pay for themselves if the battery costs are kept low enough. I should also mention that other automobile technologies, such as low-weight construction materials or the use of biofuels, if produced in an ecologically and economically sound manner, can also significantly improve mileage and thereby reduce carbon dioxide emissions per mile at low cost or net saving. So too can a shift to more convenient public transport and greater reliance on bicycling and walking. There are, in short, many options for large-scale and low-cost solutions to reducing emissions from automobiles. Industrial solutions also exist. A few industrial sectors, steel, cement, refineries, petrochemicals, produce the preponderance of carbon emissions by industry. These industries have good options for low-cost avoidance of carbon emissions. Like power plants, the bigger factories are likely to be able, at low cost, to capture and sequester their carbon dioxide and connect their own pipelines from the factories to CO2 pipelines used by power plants. Many factories can also convert from burning coal and oil on site to using electricity from the grid, which is beneficial as long as the grid electricity is produced in a low-carbon manner. The factories can also convert from fossil fuels to on-site low-carbon alternatives, such as solar power and hydrogen fuel cells, which is beneficial as long as the hydrogen is produced in a low-emission process. The combinations and permutations are endless. The chances for low-cost carbon reduction are therefore plentiful. Another area ripe for powerful results is green building, that is, designing homes and commercial buildings to reduce the on-site use of fossil fuels and to economize on energy use more generally. Green buildings are designed to tap more effectively into solar radiation, both direct sunlight and solar panels, recycle waste and water, use better insulating materials, and harvest rainwater. Furnaces and boilers on the premises can be converted to electricity-driven units connected to the power grid, providing a net carbon reduction if the electricity is produced by a low-carbon method. This book is continued on Disc 4.